Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And you can find everything about our program going back almost 10 years, just about 10, at wethepeopleradio.us.
Ah, it makes me feel old.
Okay, I'll leave that one alone.
Okay.
I'll wait to throw you under the bus until later.
I appreciate
Bad
that.
Bad form to get you right the first 2 minutes. Although I guess I've done that before.
Yeah, you've not shown any.
I know. That was fake. That was just all fake. I don't know what I was thinking. But I wanted to let people know at the We the People website. So at wethepeopleradio.us, you now have new tabs at the top, which you might be thinking, who cares? But it will make it easier for you to find shows on topics. I've been trying to like group up the topics so you don't have to scroll through 10 years of archive because that's kind of a long list at this point. So I've pulled all the way back to 2014, I think it is, because the other ones are on a different server. It'll take me a little longer to do those, but they are on the list. But I have all the shows that we've done on veterans, South Africa, China, since now we're doing multiple shows on China, environmental craziness, the shows we've done on marijuana.
They kind of look like shopping tabs, but then I saw a pot on there.
You saw pot and you thought it was a shopping tab. Yeah,
it doesn't work.
I was going to put marijuana, but it's too long, so I just put pot. And we all know what that's about, besides the fact that the actual marijuana industry wants me to call it cannabis, which is why I call it pot. Obviously, we're not fans. So if you're a fan, this would be the wrong show to listen to. But if you're not a fan, you want to know what marijuana is doing to your brain and everything, good tab for you to hit. Very informative. And the topics on China, unfortunately, while the mainstream media is busy trying to decide if Ocasio-Cortez said that the United States is garbage or not, good grief, that was like 10 minutes on this morning's news thing. While they're busy dealing with topics of major import.
Major who cares.
Yeah, we're looking at things that actually we should be paying attention to. So I had an article forwarded to me from one of our previous guests on China, June. She had sent me an article called Can Chinafornia Ever Be California Again? And I thought,
well, I might jump in right here and just yes, say that
it was a great article.
No, that
yes,
today's show will probably be on the next Sunday morning shows on TV because they seem to copy us all the time.
It is kind of funny.
It's just a coincidence, I think.
And Coast to Coast Radio has a lot of our guests on, which I don't know
what's up with that.
I don't know what that means either. Yeah. Kind of creepy. I always turn off the location thing on my phone, so how do they know what we're doing? Because mm-hmm. We know no one can spy on you if you do that.
NSA.
So I sent a note to June and I said, this is definitely a topic that we should be looking at because we hear a lot about this, obviously the whole world doesn't live in California, although sometimes it feels like it. But I think that whether you follow our program or even mainstream media, you start to notice that the crazy things and the bad things that happen in California start to infect other places pretty quickly. So this could be coming to a place near you. And that is why you care about it. So Dr. Chen has agreed to come on with us, and he's been active in I won't read this whole thing because it's pretty long, and I do hope you go on there and actually read the full article and the full bio because super interesting on both fronts, actually. And there are some really good links there to video and also a very good PowerPoint presentation on Falun Gong. So we always try to include as much stuff as we can on the website. So if you don't have time to listen to the whole show, you can at least go on there and get smart on the topic. And it's always something you can forward to your friends. We'll have a commercial-free archive up right after the show. And that'll save you a little time if you're forwarding to somebody who can't spare 2 hours. They can spare less and hear the whole thing. So let's see. Our guest has been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. Dr. Chen began his activism in 1989 when he helped to organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement. Outraged by the June 4th massacre, Dr. Chen founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation and has served on the board of the Press Freedom Guardian and was elected as the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. And if you remember our guest, when we had June on, she had lived in China at that time and was told that the students were attacking the military. She didn't know anything about the real facts of that whole thing until she left China and had lived here for almost 10 years. So it's really, that's a very important turning point. Once she kind of wrapped her mind around some of that, that was a big turning point for her. So all these things, although they seem like they might be a long time ago, they're not really a long time ago, and they are very much things that have the ability to wake up folks that have supported China for a long time.
Well, it's also a testament to how effective the Chinese government is in suppressing
what
really goes on over there.
Yeah, here's your new reality. Books that Dr. Chen has authored or co-authored are Stories of Conscience, The Falun Gong Report, Falun Gong, Humanity's Last Stand, and now in its third edition, and most recently a comprehensive report on the extensive psychiatric torture taking place in China. So not exactly light reading, but super, super important. So I'm sure we'll get to the other things on the list, but I won't burn the whole first segment just doing your bio. So we've never actually spoken with Dr. Chen, so and we just exhausted all of our knowledge on China, so it's up to you. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
We can. You're a little muffled.
But
it's okay. Keep talking.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for our audience who are taking their time to listen to this. You know, as you said, not easy topics.
No, not at all.
Super important.
So let's see. Yeah. See if you can move back from the microphone just a tiny bit, because it's you know how it does? It makes like that weird puffing sound.
Oh, okay. Is it better now?
Oh,
yeah, there
better.
We go.
There you go.
I know you can't tell, but I thought we want people to be able to hear you. So we do have a break coming up in a couple of minutes, but before we do that, like, you want to sketch out a little roadmap of where we're going today?
Yeah, I want to inform our audience, America, what is really going on between U.S. and China. And what I'm going to share is I know it will be vastly different from what we learn from the media. And that has two reasons for that. One is the manipulation of what we call CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. It's propaganda machine, is economic manipulation, but also our own media's deliberate twist of the real situation in favor of China in the process, for the purpose of their own gain. I mean, I don't believe they have particular affinity or affection for China. I'm Chinese. I should have that affection. But their twist is for their own gain. And that twist has misled America for a long time, for the past 30 years. And hopefully what my information, what I give you, would open your eye for a little bit. There are much more to it. But right now, we all know that U.S. is engaged in a trade war with China. But the trade war is just it's a tip of the iceberg. And when President Trump said, we have lost that trade war long time ago, I don't think many Americans know what President Trump is talking about. But the real war is not even the trade war. And I say this real war is a value war, that it is the CCP's assault on our value. And economy is just the, it's a weapon. Just like, you know, previous foes of America, Hitler, you know, and Stalin, they use military means or you know, military threat. China is a new kind of enemy that we have never know how to deal with. Unlike Hitler and Stalin, who, you know, threatened to run over everybody in its way, the CCP are different. It, what I call them, a what I call CCP is a generous barbarism. I mean, CCP is barbaric for sure. I can,
but not out in the open. I mean, that is very, very cleverly guarded, and even for people who who work and live in China, they never ever see that part. So they come back thinking it was all wonderful. And I'm thinking, you never met a stranger. Every single person you met was planned and put in your path. We have learned that much. Dr. Chen, we need to take a really quick break, and we will be right back in 2 minutes. We're going to celebrate a little capitalism because we can, huh? And we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Chen. And we are chatting about China and the influence here in California and the world, I suppose.
But good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
One look from you, I drift away. I pray that you.
That's the song they play for the guys that are in charge, I think, in China. What do you think, Dr. Chen? They play that secretly in the halls. They're big Roy Orbison fans back over there.
Very good. I can pull out this song. Basically.
I was kind of laughing. I'm thinking, what kind of songs are we going to play today? I still don't exactly know, but I did see that one on my list. I thought, ooh, that's a fun idea. So, all right, just keep going. I won't ask anything at this point. Sorry. I'll just derail this.
So, you know, the CCP represent, or what I was saying earlier, that represent a different kind of barbarism, the generous barbarism. Unlike Hitler or Stalin, who threatened to run over everyone, the CCP is only barbaric to its own subject. To those who are not yet under its control, the CCP will be very generous and let you in on some of its exploitations, with the only condition that you remain silent about the CCP's, you know, quote unquote, internal affair or brutality. Just recently, I think it's just yesterday or maybe the day before, China issued, you know, a statement that defending and blaming or, you know, criticizing U.S. Interfering with internal affair of, you know, persecuting Falun Gong after, you know, Pompeo and U.S. Religion Freedom, you know, Council issued statement condemning China's persecution of Falun Gong. And there you go. I mean, they claim it's internal affair. And but to those who do not criticize its brutality, it will give you everything. And so the upside is so tremendous. And the only condition seems to be so harmless. All you have to say is all you have to do is shut up, right? Look other ways. And the CCP's victims are half a earth away. and they're so irrelevant that no government of the freedom of the free world until recently, until maybe just a couple of months ago, was able to resist that kind of enticement. The generous barbarism came about what time? At what time? 1989. That was after the 1989 June 4th massacre. We should all remember that. And wide open on TV, we saw how brutal, how barbaric the CCP is. And so for a short while, the whole world turned away from CCP. I wonder if anybody noticed that recently, just very recently, there's a declassification of Bush Sr. Sending Igor Skrokov to China barely a month after the massacre.
No kidding.
A secret visit. It's a scandal, and people should look more into it. But that was when the CCP start to implement this generous barbarism. And as I said, this is a new kind of weapon that nobody knows how to deal with because it's different than Hitler. It doesn't it doesn't threaten you. And, you know, what they do in China to its own people is so far away that it was not until fast forward to, you know, from 1989 till 2010, it was only until 2010 that U.S. media began to pay attention to the U.S. job loss to China's cheap labor. And the CCP's exploitation of cheap labor eventually became an election issue for American politicians. And that is the beginning, I think, of the process that led to President Trump's winning. And I bet the Clintons still do not understand why President Trump won.
That's pretty obvious.
For years, I mean, from, you know, 1989 till, you know, just maybe this year, right? U.S. policymakers, transnational corporations, media, intellectuals, I mean, they're all working in a, in concerted effort to advocate for an economic engagement policy towards China. In fact, people should know that last week, maybe no more than two weeks ago, over 100, this people, okay, what I listed, you know, what I said earlier, policymakers, including policymaker transnational corporation executives, some media figure and some intellectuals, over 100 of them came out and wrote a joint letter to President Bush, open letter, and say, China is not our enemy. Look that up, all right? China is not our enemy, but CCP definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they have a problem of separating China with its, you know, enemy. China's biggest enemy is CCP. And so those people have a difficult time to separate that. And it is these people, this same group of people, who claimed that it would be advantageous for China's quote-unquote national interest, and for China's human rights. Think about it. It's good for China's human rights to engage in CCP. And yet, for all these periods until now, even now they still continue to advocate that policy. But they have never been able to. Now, they have never been able to explain to us Americans, right? What exactly are those so-called national interests, America's national interests? How those national interest consideration has led to an ever-threatening CCP. Now, CCP is the greatest threat. Now, Americans, we all know that by now. So how is their policy who are supposed to look out for America's national interest has led to an ever-threatening CCP. And how the policy led to an ever-worsening human rights in China condition, human rights condition in China. Right? Because their policy is supposed to help, but they have all, they have just worked the opposite. And after all this has said, been said and done, when the rooster finally come home, to roost the job loss problem, the election issue becomes the election issue. Now it become clear, make it clear that all those, you know, transnational business and their pocket politicians have been after for all. They're going after is China's cheap labor. The very result of China, the CCP's exploitation. And isn't the exploitation of cheap labor the same as slavery? Now, some people must be outraged. I mean, how is it possible that Americans, you know, whose ancestors had fought a bloodiest war to abolish slavery, you know, just over 100 years ago, would engage in slavery? Well, that's the beauty of engaging with the CCP's generous barbarism, because the slavery is done by the CCP. The slavery is outsourced to the CCP, and the transnational business and their pocket politicians do not have to, you know, face any moral, do not have to bear any moral responsibility. They don't have to, you know, basically CCP is their white glove to benefit from that. I mean, look at our trade deficit. For this years, we have run 30 years of trade, huge trade deficit with China for years, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
any business person should know that's not good for our country. But no president before Trump did anything about it. And the reality is that trade deficit is not real trade deficit, but really it is an outsourcing premium paid to the CCP's modern slavery. We pay that to have CCP to run its slavery. Now, we can benefit from that slavery. And so all that all Americans are really going after is the human tragedy, the cheap labor. And so then how can we, here's a principal problem with our national value, right? How do we reconcile that fact with our value of freedom and human rights?
Well, so far we've been reconciling it by just not recognizing it.
Well, yeah, I think our national attitude has just been to help China come into the 21st century, and let's give them.
Which is going to solve everything.
Which is going to, yeah.
I hear you laughing over there.
It's yeah, they're really not seeing the big picture. The CCP sees the big picture. But I think so many people in this country really, I think you're making an excellent point.
As long as nobody wants to name it, they can keep going. We've got to take a really quick break, celebrate a little capitalism here. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Chen. We are discussing China. Okay.
Yeah, we were talking about how basically, mm-hmm. America is subsidizing the cheap labor or slave trade in China to enrich, you know, multinational corporations. And we're not, I think people love going to the store and buying cheap Chinese goods and you know, mm-hmm. benefiting from that. But I don't think they see the other side of it, how that...
They don't see the stake. What they don't see, what is at stake.
Exactly. And that money that China is making doesn't go to making their people enriched. It's actually just enriching the...
It's actually keeping people in...
In bondage.
Yep.
And there's a Chinese saying, free the tiger to become it's your own threat. And that's what America did.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's, I raise the question is, how do we reconcile that fact with our own value of freedom and human rights? Well, that's why there's a need to applaud China's achievement. That's what those Panda Hugger did. I mean, they're in their most recent letter. And actually, before Trump's election, it's worse. There was this praise for China model, the so-called Beijing consensus, quote unquote. And there's even books about when China ruled world. And to eulogize tyranny, to beautify barbarism. And look, do we see how? I mean, do Americans see how deeply the CCP's general barbarism has silently eroded our value to the point that we even eulogize tyranny? Had Hitler or Stalin came anywhere near that? And that yet we are not aware of it.
Well, Hitler and Stalin both wanted it quickly. I mean, they went mm-hmm. after it in a very very mm-hmm. quick fashion. China plays the long game, and
right.
and they have plenty of time to
right.
put everything in place and keep this going.
And they have a different weapon.
Yes,
their weapon is not, you know, tank and gun.
Mm-hmm.
Their weapon is actually our greed. They very cleverly played on our greed. And the generous barbarism, the generous part is, you know, playing to, you know, catering or enticing our greed. And so as to look away its crimes. In fact, this is the CCP's threat came on so quickly. I mean, you mentioned Hitler wanted to do things quickly, but CCP's threat is also, if we look at, you know, past 30 years, it came as quickly. Because in 1989, the CCP not only is bankrupt in its legitimacy of ruling, because it kills its own people in front the whole world. But then by 1992, when the Soviet bloc has collapsed, the CCP also lost its legitimacy in ideology. In fact, the victory led by another great president, President Reagan, who, you know, in 1983, in his famous speech, asking Gorbachev to tear down this wall, that led to the free world's charge to end the Cold War. And that is what resulted in the resounding victory. And the victory was so resounding and complete that many historians at that time consider it the end of history. I mean, it doesn't mean that, you know, humanity doesn't no longer exist. It says meaning that there's no interest in history anymore. There was no, that the global confrontation is over. And then Samuel Huntington later predicted in his well-known write-up, Clash of Civilizations, claimed that, you know, the clash between cultures, it will be maintained. I don't think any one of them, if any, had given much thought at that time of the sparing of the CCP from the disintegration of the communist bloc. China spared. I mean, my friend and I, we paid attention because, of course, we came from China. I still remember that was the Christmas in 1989. We watched in front of the TV and were stunned to see Ceausescu, the Romanian dictator, being shot, being executed. And we look at each other and say, we Chinese people started this whole democracy movement, yet we are the one, you know, being massacred, yet the rest of the, you know, the other people under communist ruling, they gained freedom. It's just so ironic.
Yeah, why do you think that was, that the other communist dictators and communist countries fell at that time or were under such scrutiny, but China got a pass? Why do you think that is?
I think there's a greater plan, a greater force at play, and hopefully towards the end of the program we'll get to it. I think there's a greater plan, greater force at play, and what has that led to? What we're facing now is a setup to the greatest or gravest confrontation that humanity will ever know.
Yikes.
That is that what we're facing is now, and so at that time, 30 years ago, CCP was really little and weak, because nobody even paid attention to its, you know, escape or sparing from the integration of communist bloc. And in just 30 years, CCP has threatened the U.S. in ways that Stalin couldn't even imagine, you know, Hitler couldn't even imagine. And that is under watch of seven presidents in between Reagan and Trump. Mm. And that is because the generous barbarism. And I said, you know, there are more at stake. President Abraham Lincoln, in his famous second inauguration speech, noted that the powerful interest of slavery as the cause of the Civil War. And he said the war came. Even when the war came, most still didn't look for a, you know, result, a quick result, and didn't realize its deep meaning. Right? Lincoln, however, saw, quote, I quote here, okay, the Almighty have its own purpose. And that if God willed the Civil War continue until all the wealth piled by the bondsman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with lash shall be paid by another draw with the sword. As was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, if the profit extracted from America's old slavery had to be wiped out through the Civil War, could the financial gains extracted from China's modern slavery at the expense of vast number of Chinese people's worsening rights, would that be treated differently?
Yeah, that's good.
And yet there are more at stake. Morality, you know, may be in embodied or represent as a value, as a principle, as code of conduct, and so on and so forth. But most fundamentally, morality is our internal guidance.
And unfortunately, morality in our country is waning seriously.
Well, they're working. Exactly. If you look at the big, you know, if you step back and you look at what's happening now, the goal, really, of all this resistance movement is to take away things that support morality. You're not allowed to decide that there are just men and women. You're not. I mean, there's.
Yeah.
I mean, really fundamental things.
Which makes it very easy to turn your back on.
Sure.
On China.
Which makes all the rest of it not really your problem
because it's
not that big a deal.
All right, we've got to take a break.
We have to take a really quick break. We're here with Dr. Chen. He was born in China in 1962 and at 15 entered the gifted program at China University of Science and Technology. Came to the U.S. in 1982 to study and received his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. Currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. So I thought I'd just do that little blurb at the end because I think it's very interesting that he's so well versed in his topic, you know, his actual field of study is molecular biology, which we will not be covering today. Thank God. It's just because we don't have any songs for it. That's the only reason we're not doing it. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Well, we can always lean on the Chinese Communist Party because they're totally up front and looking out for everyone's welfare, as we're learning today.
And they pay quite well.
Yeah, and they pay well. So when we're referring to the CCP today, that's the Chinese Communist Party, I guess we should let people know in case they're tuning in and out or driving or whatever. So we have Dr. Chen as our hostage for the next hour, which is a good thing. Because, well, we'll never finish the topic.
Because we can't cover everything that
needs to not ever. Covered. But I wanted you, Dr. Chen, to kind of give people a little bit of a kind of a snapshot into where we're going to go with this. Because I really got hung up in the article that you sent. The one part, the methods that the Chinese Communist Party uses. And you have a handy-dandy little list there. And one of them... that just really, well, several, but sponsorship of pro-regime educational institutions and universities to foster pro-Chinese worldviews. There's no place you can see that more clearly than California, obviously. And then substantial financial and other assistance to key individuals and institutions that are prepared to support China's interests. And I immediately thought of Dianne Feinstein's staff that worked for her for 20 years.
That reported directly to the CCP.
Right.
Yeah. But she didn't know.
But she didn't know for 20 years.
She didn't know.
This is literally right under our nose. We don't have to go to China to see it. We could just stay here.
Right. So you asked two questions. Where
I did.
Were going?
I just kind of wandered all over the place and shotgunned it. Sorry.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you asked two questions. One is where will we go? Mm-hmm. And then another question is the CCP's method. Well, unfortunately, where we go completely depends on how we view all this and our choice. I'm glad that we elected the right president. But that's just the beginning. The damage the past 30 years have done is so deep that it may take much more than we realize to reverse that. And take what we see in China, California, and Senator Dianne Feinstein may claim she didn't know. I remember a movie, I forgot the title, but this was about the Holocaust. And in the movie, it says, you don't know because you don't want to know. I actually ran into Senator Dianne Feinstein. That must be 2003 or 2004. I don't remember exactly a year, but that was that time when once I went with my colleague to her office to speak about the persecution in China against Falun Gong, and she claimed to one of our colleagues and says, "I'm not too fond of cult." And in her mind, the persecuted group, Falun Gong persecuted, was persecuted because they're a cult. Right?
So did she just blurted that out, like right at the beginning? She thought Falun Gong was a cult?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she said that. I mean, now, I mean, yes, it's convenient to say she didn't know. Well, if she didn't know, why she would say, you know, call out, you know, we're not, I'm not too fond of cult.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's amazing that they didn't know. In fact, I mean, the U.S. policy towards China has been the worst example of irresponsible politicians and their policies. For 30 years, has done so much damage to the U.S. and to China. It has done everything opposite than what they claim the policies intend to do. And yet, not only they didn't look into why it has failed, those over 100 and the panda huggers still want to continue it. And if we're going to continue with it, we're doomed. Right. So let me go to the China's method, just a glimpse of it. There are all kinds of methods. But at the very fundamental, it worked to change your conscience. It first entices you with economic interest. And as I said earlier, the condition or the price you pay is so little or none. All you have to do is look away. But that looks very little, but really that is an assault on our conscience, on our value. Because our value, America's value, is not that. America's value is just fairness and all the positive values. Looking away, keep silence, is not our value. But that is just, you know, at the beginning it's very little. But that seeming very little is the most important, because morality, you know, as I said earlier, may be embodied, you know, represented or embodied as value, principle, code of conduct and policies. But most fundamentally, it is our internal guide. Internal guide and standard restraint. And so, because this is internal, this determines that a moral person will be self-honest. And a deceptive person will deceive himself first before he DCs for anybody else. He DCs himself first. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So this seemingly harmless demand by the CCP really is the worst assault on our rally. When seven U.S. presidents between Reagan and Trump, right, when they looked away for massive human rights violations in China, what example they have set for the nation? A few years ago, 2 years ago, over half the U.S. congressmen co-signed a resolution condemning the CCP's organ harvesting from live Falun Gong practitioners, the topic that you have covered. But in the end, this resolution, which is supposedly co-signed by over half of them, the congressmen, didn't even get to the floor to be voted upon. If they're sincere about their co-signing, even when tens of these congressmen were serious about their co-signature, I'm sure their leader will put the resolution to vote.
Well, you've made an excellent point that once you've convinced the people and made their conscience believe that they can look the other way and take the money and profit from this, the rest of it's easy. The rest of it just falls into place.
Well, you just make sure they never see it. It's like the organ harvesting. I can't tell you how many. We did that show just for reference of people listening. It's a program we did on December 2nd, 2018, and I know we have replayed it since, but it was originally done December 2nd, 2018. That was shocking, and I'm thinking, I consider myself fairly well-informed. We didn't really know that was going on. And at the level that it's happening, we're not talking just a couple of things, and we're not talking part of a liver. We're talking people get killed for their organs. Not good. We unfortunately have to take a little break for the news. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Chen. You can find everything about this program at wethepeopleradio.us, and I hope you will go look at some of the other shows we've done on this topic. Be right back. Afternoon, and welcome back to We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Bill, anything to input here?
Well, no. I think we're off and running on our second hour.
Second hour on China. And we've been talking about the Chinese Communist Party. So as we go forward, it'll be referred to as the CCP. So when you hear CCP, you'd be like, what? What are they talking about? Chinese Communist Party. So that... I don't know. It's very important that people understand that there's a lot more to this. We hear a lot about the trade deficit and all that jazz, but there's a lot behind that.
Yeah, that's like he was saying, that's the tip of the iceberg.
It really is. And yeah. So we're hoping to bring some really in-depth programming from people who actually know what they're talking about, not just the, let's face it, we're not qualified to talk about this. I just had to pick up the phone and ask him how you say his first name. I didn't know how to pronounce it. I tried to use one of those things that tells you how to pronounce things on the computer, and it didn't matter how many times I played it. I was like, what are they saying? I felt so American. We suck at that stuff. But you know what? My failure is someone else's gain. There are people who are gifted with language, and God love them because I need them desperately. So our topic today, we captioned his article. It's Can Chinafornia Ever Be California Again? You can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. And our guest is Dr. How do you say it?
This last name is Shizong Chen.
Shizong Chen. See, the Chen part was easy. And oddly enough, I looked at that. I thought, oh, good. I'm home free. oddly enough, the program we did about the forced organ harvesting in China was also Dr. Chen, but it was a different Dr. Chen. So anyhow, that makes it simple. And you have really done a tremendous amount of study. You were born in China in 1962 at 15. So you're actually you're younger than I am. We've both got Bill. Mm-hmm. We've both got Bill beat. He'll be our senior member of the program today.
That's right. I've been around.
Let's see. You came here at 15, and you are currently you own and run a molecular biology startup in San Diego, which we assured people last hour we would not be discussing. Mm-hmm. Since we don't really, I know less about science than I do about how to pronounce people's names. So that gives you something to work with there. So. Without too much goofing off, which is really where I shine, go into this the Chinese Communist Party, how exactly they have, I don't know if that's the right way to ask it, but kind of how they have sort of hypnotized people in the U.S. so that they don't notice that they think it's all about a trade war, but in reality, it's about slavery and oppression in China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how they did it, and unfortunately, as we say, this is a very important topic. Because unfortunately, all this are not there's not really no easy answer. And we have to go cover a few things and then draw a conclusion. Right? Mm-hmm. And part of it is how CCP have achieved that. They enlist the help of our elected officials. And I was before the break, I was talking about. You know, how more than half of our House member, congressional member, have co-signed on a resolution condemning the organ harvesting, yet that resolution didn't even get to the floor to vote, right? So if they're serious about their co-signature, I'm sure their leader will listen to them because it's over half of them, even one-tenth of them. The member co-signed a bill, their leader will listen because they need their help in the future, right? And so this is the extent of the hypocrisy, the self-deceit, self-deception, or the lack of self-honest, how bad that is, how serious that is, that has infiltrated our political lives. The coercion of a national leader away from self-honest is one of the greatest harm the CCP has done to America. And numerous articles, people have discussed and concerned about the declining of our social moral. The CCP's corruption of our nation is far from being recognized, and that's the what you said, they hypnotized our nation. Mm-hmm. And that start from our leader, right? And I'm sure I can bet on this. Okay, I'm sure we will learn more and more of the CCP's their tricks to control our leaders. I mean, basically, they'll stop at nowhere. The only things that the CCP cannot think of, there will be nothing they will not do. They will use anything. They will use money. They'll use women to gain all those control. And with those, with our politicians in their pocket, I mean, the education you're talking about, the Confucius institution, and that alone is an insult to Confucius. I mean, Confucius is our China's traditional value. CCP is the one that destroyed our traditional value, and now it uses Confucius is the name for the institution that, propagand, that will propagate its ideas, corrupted ideas, and that's really an insult. Yet, that gets set up in the United States in many schools without our, you know, politicians looking away. It wouldn't succeed. And yet, why? Why, of so many things, why would CCP put money into education institution? Because it knows to influence people's ideas is the most effective way. And in fact, in parallel, we see how many, college students now are influenced by the liberals' ideas, unfortunately. Right? The CCP's education, of course, is worse because education will model, will shape one's conscience. And conscience, our innate knowing of what's right and wrong, will decide our judgment. How will we act when we face an issue? What will we support? What will be against? What will we tolerate? What will not tolerate? All that is the conscience. When talking about conscience, CCP is the worst criminal against humanity. The crime against humanity is the result of Nuremberg trial. It's the worst crime that's known so far. Yet CCP's crime against conscience is worse crime than that. And let me elaborate on that. Let me start with a simple story.
How about this? So I don't have to cut you off midstream. Let's take a really quick break and then come back, and you can do that all in one segment because it's very, very important. We are here with our guest, Dr. Chen. We are discussing China and really going kind of in depth behind the scenes to the Chinese Communist Party and its influence here in America. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
My eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so
great tactic.
Yeah, that's the CCP's theme song.
It is. It seems so appropriate. So
we were talking about the China's influence in our universities, and when you think about it, how clever is that? You know, you influence the youth, mm-hmm. and those are our future leaders.
I like your article. It calls it the charm offensive.
Yeah. I mean, then they get out of college and they're our new leaders and our new business leaders, and they already have a relationship with China.
Yeah.
How convenient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're super nice.
Yeah.
So you had kind of a list you were going to, you know, or a...
yeah.
That you were going to give us.
I was on the topic of conscience. mean, consciousness is what our innate knowing of what's right and wrong. Right? And so the CCP is the worst crime to the whole humanity, because it commits crime against conscience. And let me elaborate. Let me start with a true story, a simple story, because I am also the president of Following the Human Rights Working Group. We receive hundreds of thousands of this abuse case against Falun Gong practitioners. They have some of the heinous torture. But this is one of the probably the plainest story. I mean, the plainest story. This is a Falun Gong practitioner who were arrested and jailed. And the jail orders the convicts, the inmates, to force her to recite the rules, right, of the jail. I mean, she refused to recite because she said, "I'm not a criminal. That's not for me." And they beat her up. No matter how they beat her up, she just would not recite them. And they say, "You have to, because you're a criminal." She said, "I'm not a criminal. You are. Right. I can walk out here. As soon as I renounce Falun Gong, I can walk out here. But you cannot. I am jailed precisely because I'm a good person." Well, that story distills the persecution of Falun Gong, or actually CCP's ruling of China, to its core. And the whole ruling of the CCP is to coerce the good people to admit what they believe in good is wrong.
Because they're not allowed to practice. I mean, there is no religious freedom in China, just for those people who may not be up to speed on that.
Right.
That's not one of the options, and you wind up being a political prisoner if you get busted.
Well, religion in China recognizes that there's a greater good than the government, so you're not allowed.
Yeah, that would blow their whole deal.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Right on. Yes, and so over the years, I have run into many people who just cannot understand why Falun Gong practitioners are so stubborn. They say, "You can go home and just practice quietly, right? Or when they force you to renounce Falun Gong, you just pretend you renounce and then go home, right?" I mean, yes. The persecution so far has consumed, or, you know, has tortured to, you know, basically persecute over a million people to death already. The stake is really, really high.
A million people. Say,
yeah.
Yeah. Just so we
and,
don't and understand
some
that.
Some people say, why can't you, Falun Gong practitioner, compromise? In fact, that is one of the things Dianne Feinstein, the chief of staff at that time, the same way that I mentioned earlier, the next day I met her chief of staff. Because she knew that, he knew that we know what she said, you mean, the cold part. So next day, he met with us and he said, "Well, we cannot help it. If you keep walking to the lion's den," and he views Falun Gong practitioners insistent to their freedom as walking to the lion's den, right? No. We are not on attack. We are just defending our own rights. And yet they say, you should know how to compromise. Well, that's the point.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The point.
Well, that whole expression about the lion's den, I mean, the Christians learned all about that a long time ago.
So that,
it's the same, it's the exact same
exactly
option. You know, renounce your beliefs, and you can go. And finally said, "No, not doing it."
But if you just compromise your beliefs a little bit, I mean,
just lie about it and then go home.
You'll be okay. Yeah.
Tell me this. In China, I know we have discussed Falun Gong, and a lot of people know of that because it is a, and again, I'll confess my American, my Americanness. It's like a Tai Chi sort of practice. It's a, I don't want to call it an exercise, but I mean, there is that component, but it's also a meditation and it's a belief system. So it's a lot of things rolled into one.
Right. So formally it's called cultivation practice, but to make it easy, it's really a spiritual guided physical exercise. Spiritual guided physical exercise.
Is there something larger than that? If you're going to get in trouble for not towing the party line, I know Falun Gong makes up a huge percentage of the religious persecution, the folks that are being persecuted for that.
Yes.
I'm assuming they go after everybody else too.
Right.
We just don't hear about that as much.
Right, right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You ask about Falun Gong. Let me try the quickest way to explain it. Ever since you ask any scholar on China study, Sinologist, right? They all believe that the philosophical foundation of the Chinese culture is the belief of oneness of man and heaven. Now, man were here, heaven is up there. What makes oneness of man and heaven to happen? I mean, how do we become one with the heaven? Well, the way to achieve that in Chinese language and Chinese culture is called the cultivation practice. And there are literally thousands of different schools in China's history, not now, in Chinese history. There are thousands of schools to teach people to achieve that. Confucius teaching nowadays, people regard it as a philosophical teaching. No, at his time, that's his teaching to guide his student to achieve that. Lao Tzu's teaching, we also regard it as philosophical teaching. It's the same teaching for that. It's called the cultivation practice. And Falun Gong is one of those teachings. It's very popular in China. Maybe we'll have another time to talk about Falun Gong. But let me get back to the topic of conscience. Right? So the fundamental question here is, if right and wrong can compromise, why do we have right and wrong in the first place?
Yeah.
If good can be coerced to cave into evil, how will all our values and principles be based on? They will have no base. There's no need to have right and wrong. And that is why our innate knowing of right and wrong is so critically important. In the Declaration of Independence, our founding father proclaimed unalienable rights. And then in the International Declaration for Human Rights, and it also claimed unalienable rights. Well, when we think about it, all those inalienable or unalienable rights, they can all be alienated, because that's exactly what human rights is. I mean, they put a bullet into your head, and they take away everything you have, except one. When we think about it, there's only one thing that they cannot take away, even at death. That is our conscience. If I did not give up my insistence of doing the right thing, even they kill me, they did not take my conscience away. And if I cannot stand the torture, if I'm coerced into acknowledge what I really believe right as wrong, I can later explain to others, they forced me to do it, but in the end, It is my decision to take in. So conscience is something that a person will have and be responsible for under any circumstances. And as the only thing that a human being can have, that's the only thing, right, under any circumstances, that, I believe, defines humanity. And the crime against conscience, therefore, is the worst possible crime against humanity. And that's exactly what CCP did. That's what exactly CCP is doing worldwide. It just used different methods. In China, it uses violence. They threaten with, you know, taking your life, you know, taking your family member's life. Right? Internationally, in the United States, they cannot use that. So they use other means. Giving money for you, giving money to the United States colleges for you to set up their education institution is one of those tricks. And it took me this long to give an answer to, you know.
That's okay.
It's
important to do the backstory. Otherwise, it's too easy to dismiss, I think. Let's take a really quick break, and we'll be right back and hit some of this about how they're working in the university system. I think people are concerned about what's going on there, but there's one more thing to be worried about. Leave it to us to bring that to you. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. All right, head to the university system and how they're, I don't even know if co-opting is the right word for that, but how they're sort of indoctrinating everybody there.
The indoctrination start with the Chinese student. Are you familiar with the Thousand Talent program in China?
No.
Okay. Are you familiar with the some of the news that many professors from top American universities are arrested for their potential. I think the true reason is their involvement with the 1,000 TTP, the 1,000 Talent Program. Right. Basically, this 1,000 talent program is the recruitment for Chinese scholars to steal American science secret and a science breakthrough. So this 1,000 talent program enlists the target top Chinese scholars, I know some of them, target them and gave them benefit. They will give you a lab in China. They'll pay you a very good salary there, and they'll help you to set up a company there. So many of the things that those professors have to avoid in the United States because of ethical standards or you know, a contract reason, whatever, okay, what they cannot do here. The CDC provided them for. They are over there. And all they have to do is to just, you know, they actually, the, one of the criteria for the TTP is that you don't quit your American job. You keep it there, but you copy what you're doing here, duplicate them in China.
Oh.
That's stealing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, that gets back to the intellectual properties that we hear so much about.
But even just if you invent something and you're not a giant producer, if you invent something and put it out on the market, because I've had people, I can think of one lady in particular. She was super upset because she had a patent. She had all these things set up. And a large retailer, Walmart, here in the U.S., sent that product to China, had them change it just enough to escape the patent restrictions,
mm-hmm.
and reproduce it for, you know, whatever.
Very typical.
Pennies on the dollar. And
very
she was
typical.
Doomed. I mean, what are you going to do? Sue him?
Mm-hmm.
So, so she was out of business as quick as she went in.
Yeah. That is a key issue right now. The centerpiece of the trade negotiation with China. But there's a lot more to it. It's run much deeper to it. CCP has achieved something that no other regime has ever achieved. It basically turned a significant portion, if not majority, I would say it's overwhelming majority of its subject, into its pawn, its willing or unwitting pawn. And you go into a Chinese, because I graduated from American college, I'm familiar with those student organizations. And, you know, the fact that I'm intervening here and disclosing this information, you know what I'll get, what I'll be called? I'll be called a traitor of China. I'll be called, you know, losing Chinese people's face. That's how they're educated. They're how they're instilled. And so the CCP's influence of students, you know, increasing influence, you know, in the United States, start with the influence of the Chinese students. In fact, this brings another very important topic that's related to China-fornia. That is, some people may think, maybe you're blowing smoke, you're exaggerating things. I mean, just business. How can it affect that much? Huh? If we look into the CCP's destruction of Chinese community in the U.S., we will know how serious is that. I mean, over the years, many people have asked me and my Chinese friends to mobilize the Chinese community to vote for their candidates, Democratic candidates and Republican candidates alike, all right? But this very fact, the fact that they asked me and my Chinese friend to do this indicates that they're not at all aware of the CCP's utter destruction of the Chinese community inside the U.S. I mean, we talk about how the CCP influenced our elected officials, non-Chinese elected officials in business. Well, it will have much more ways to control the Chinese community. Now you can imagine. And I said earlier, how they control the professors. Right? And this combined, very important, combined with acquiescence of the U.S. government to the CCP's infiltration has put the Chinese community in a very difficult situation. I mean, those difficult situations I mentioned, you know, some professors being arrested, those are, you know, some of the difficult situation. And this CCP influence and the lack of support of U.S. government really led to a terrible situation of the Chinese group or Chinese community in the U.S. And to the point I claimed that the Chinese community in the U.S. no longer exists. There's no Chinese community in the U.S. And that's a destruction of a subset our country. And this would, if we are not careful, this will expand to other areas. California is an example, right? It's following the Chinese community. But let me talk a little bit more about the Chinese community. Other than their country of origin, now there's not even a Chinese community in the U.S. to speak of. There exists not a common celebration, not a common cause, not even a common culture or ethnic event to participate for Chinese Americans. The majority of mainland Chinese immigrants hate all those who do not conform to the CCP ideology. One portion of the Taiwan immigrants refuse to recognize their ties with, you know, that they're Chinese. They claim they're Taiwanese, and they loathe those who do. And Tibetan Uyghurs disdain those from China. And myriads of mistrust have long shattered the Chinese community to the point that no one can even come close to represent even a portion of the Chinese community, and that vacuum is created by the CCP, so the CCP can control the Chinese community. And the CCP's nationalistic and hatred propaganda has taken over the vacuum and deeply influenced Chinese immigrants and Chinese students, and rendering them easily manipulated. And the only real Chinese community so-called leader are the CCP. I mean, the media have infatuated themselves, you know, some of our politicians infatuated themselves with Russian meddling. And yeah, that's still a hot topic of debate. Now we're seeing the end of it. But CCP has gone far beyond meddling. It really has gone to the point to be able to pulling strings, use the Chinese community to pull strings to our local politics. And that, again, is something that no other regime has ever achieved in the United States. And the Chinese community played possibly the most important role in turning California into Chinafornia, because Chinese constitute the highest percentage of, you know, of all the states. I mean, the percentage of Chinese in California is the highest. Particularly in San Francisco, it's over 20%.
Wow.
And those people listen to CCP, and CCP used them to influence our politics.
That's just downright scary.
Yeah,
and it's, and it's, and it's absolutely unseen. I mean, you got to hand it to them; they're really good at this stuff. I mean, this is not being discussed. It's not being exposed. It's so slow and quiet and subtle that it's not rolling out any alarm bells.
Totally effective.
Nope, nobody's worried about it. We have to take one last quick break. And Dr. Chen, would you check your email? I shot you a question there. I don't know how much of a multitasker you are, but I was over here multitasking. We'll be right back with our guest, and you are listening to We the People. We hope you'll join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Share the show with other people.
Well, we all have a face that we hide away forever, and we take them out and show ourselves when everyone has gone. Some are satin, some are steel, some are silk, and some are leather. They're the face.
Well, at this rate, we're never going to find out because these guys are too good.
They're very effective.
They're super, super sneaky. And you know, I know Bill had something he wanted to add here, but I just wanted to let you know, Dr. Chen, we have talked about this before on different shows when you weren't here with the other Dr. Chen. And I have relatives who, when they graduated from college, nephews, they were getting ready to graduate from college. They were offered positions in China. A couple of them took it. Went over and coached basketball, actually. They were they were sports guys. So they went over there and coached basketball, and they loved it. Everybody they met was really nice. Everyone magically spoke English. I mean,
took them around, toured them around, let them see things.
And I'm like, you guys never met anybody who wasn't supposed to meet you. I mean, and they had no idea. They have no... Not just because they're college students, but just because it's that well crafted.
Right.
And so they come back, and yeah, that's how we indoctrinate people here with, there's nothing scary going on. There's nothing bad going on. I didn't see anything bad.
No. And Dr. Chen, you were
everybody loves it there.
Yeah. And you were talking about the Chinese community here and how it is been pretty much taken over, and nobody steps out of line. I was reading some of this information that we had here that the triads were actually connected to the CCP. Is that correct?
They were not used to, but the CCP has infiltrated and taken it over, yes.
Oh, wow.
They could even take over a giant gang?
Yeah.
I guess if you're the Chinese Communist Party, you
can... That's the wrong question. That was the wrong question. CCP is the biggest gang that humanity has ever known.
I was going to say, I guess if you're the CCP, you can do what you want, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, your gang's part of my gang because I'm a bigger gang. Jeez.
You know, wherever CCP is, and that not CCP, the communism claim to its glory that, you know, one of the things they brag is that wherever it has been, gangs no longer exist. Of course, you're the biggest gang.
Okay, that's kind of funny, actually.
Right. That's frightening.
Well, the communists have always, I mean, anybody who hasn't even studied it knows that the hallmark of communism is the long game. It's not about what happens this year or next. It's about what happens over the next 100 years.
And there's a bigger force at play because that's why it's a long game.
Tell me this though: if you asked Chinese Americans, if for some reason you were taking you're taking a class or you have a neighbor or something like that, it's like, well, what do you think about the CCP? If you asked them, they wouldn't. My guess is they would not even discuss that with you, or would they?
No. Exactly. You're right.
It's against the rules, isn't it? I mean, I would be... I think if I were them, I'd be scared, you know, a big hand would come out of the sky and snatch me off the earth.
Right. That's why... well, first of all, Chinese people, they're good people, very good people. I'm Chinese. I know they're very good people. It's not Chinese people.
No, you're right. And we don't want it to sound like that.
It's the CCP. Who really turned good people, brainwashed them.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Like any good gang, right? It's everybody didn't start out doing anything bad, and not
everybody's born into a gang, right?
Right. You slowly but surely see no other alternatives.
We talked about the universities. We talked about the political heads of state that are influenced. Now, what about business leaders and corporations? That's another area that they're focusing on, isn't it?
Oh, there are. I have always said that there are four sections that the CCP has influenced this country. We talk about political leaders. Business is its next big target. Mm-hmm. And media and education. We talk a little bit about education. We're talking about only the education institution. We haven't talked about the intellectuals, their influence on the intellectuals. Now, business, right? So business is their purse target. generous, the generous Babism worked on business first. There are the delinking of human rights with trade was something, you know, under Clinton. I'm not sure if our audience knows about it. It is President Clinton who used China's human rights as one of his campaign platforms, criticized China's human rights when he was running the first election. But he was the one that delinked human rights with U.S. trade. I mean, of course, we shouldn't be surprised anymore that, knowing what Clinton's political career is now. But the U.S. business played the most important role in that, pressuring our political leaders into looking away, into tolerating, engaging China to improve China's human rights policy. And the reason I said earlier, because that allowed the U.S. business to take advantage, to outsource or take advantage of China's modern slavery. And so the U.S. company or business has the most to gain.
Right.
And to justify, they themselves don't need to justify, right? They just make money. I mean, there's a standard term, right, called business decision. And the two magic words covers everything. It's a business decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same as, in World War II, soldier taking order as a defense of their committing crime against humanity. Well, business decision is not so simple. Right? Business responsibility to the society. Business decision is no excuse for doing evil. The same as taking orders, no excuse.
Right.
And yet, nowadays, they're still doing it.
Right.
And we should, unfortunately, the society haven't paid attention to it. And in one of the forums that I participate, they asked me, how do we change that? So it was very simple. If we make, in the U.S., if we make a law, make it to a law that what is illegal in the United States is illegal for a U.S. company to do in other places. Period.
Right.
And that will stop that, because many of the U.S. companies are doing things that they cannot do in the United States, in China.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they can do it cheaper. I mean, I don't think it's any big secret to anybody that you can have, 50 cent an hour wages in China, and there's a reason for that.
But they don't talk about
that.
Not only
they can do it cheaper, they can do it without responsibility.
That's right.
And many of the things that they cannot do here.
Sure.
For example, they have to provide, you have to protect the environment. In China, there's no environment.
Exactly.
No.
There's all those types of things that they don't have to worry about over there, which I think that's a great point. If it's illegal here, U.S. companies can't do it over there either. And if they do get caught doing that, then
consequences. I'll be the thorn. If we were still in the Paris Accord, of course, that would have solved everything.
Oh yeah, right. That would have really helped.
Somebody had to say it. Which is just ludicrous. So before we officially run out of time, which is swiftly approaching, I wanted to let people know that not only was Dr. Chen our hostage for the second hour, but he has now volunteered to be our hostage next Sunday. We're pre-booking hostage negotiations here.
So,
He's going to come on with us. That was my burning question there before the end of the hour was, there's just so much more to cover.
Oh my gosh.
So much more to cover.
We never got to talk about the United Front Work Department.
And that is a whole thing of its own. So yeah. We really appreciate your time this Sunday, and we'll appreciate you ahead of time for next Sunday. We hope people will go online. Please do a little reading, and if you have any questions or anything, you can email us ahead of time or during the show, and that is at wethepeopleradio.us. So, Dr. Chen, thanks a million. Have a lovely rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank
we'll
you
be
for
basically same time, same station, just like Batman, next week. And,
okay.
So the CCP can wait with bated breath for what we're going to say about him next week. Thanks. Thanks a million.
Have a great weekend.
Have a great week, everybody. We'll be right back in 7 days.